The words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, that was Christmas. I don't know what it was like for you, but we were fortunate to have one of the loveliest family celebrations in our 45 years. Lunch cooked expertly by one of our sons-in-law, and Boxing Day surrounded by our children and grandchildren, everybody happy together. There were even hugs and leftovers for the dog. What a contrast with the stress that Mary and Joseph experienced on that other religious holiday we just heard about, just after Jesus' 12th birthday. Oh, if any of you is 12, you have my sympathy. 12 is a very difficult age. We all know the story from Jesus' childhood, how every year his parents went to Jerusalem for Passover. And when Jesus was 12, they all went there as usual for the holiday. When it was all over, they left. But they didn't know that Jesus had stayed behind. They thought he was with some relatives or friends. And they went a whole day before they started asking people who he was with. And when they couldn't find him, they had to go back and start looking for him. It took 3 days before they found him sitting in the temple, listening to the teachers and asking questions. Everyone was surprised at how much he knew. When they found him, they too were amazed. His mother said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been very worried, and we've been searching for you." Now Jesus answered, "Why did you have to look for me? Didn't you know that I would be here in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Jesus went back to Nazareth with them and obeyed them. Mary kept on thinking about all that had happened, and Jesus became wise and he grew strong. Mary and Joseph used to go all the way to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover. I bet they left the children with the grandparents. This still happens. When Jesus was 12, it was time for him to go too. For at 12, a Jewish boy became a man. He then became a son of the law, bar mitzvah, and had to take the obligations of the law upon himself. So at 12, Jesus went up to the Passover festival for the first time. The city would be crowded for the festival. Families and friends travelled there together. The young folk met up with friends and relatives and enjoyed being in each other's company. But this is a story about being lost and found again. And it's the only story we have in the Gospels about Jesus as a boy. Now, it's a story about being lost and found again. We can get lost in many different ways. There's a lovely story of an absent-minded professor from Edinburgh, very intelligent man. He used to travel regularly by train, and all the ticket inspectors knew him, and one time by the gate to the platform, he was anxiously going through his pockets. And after a while, the ticket collector asked if he could help. "Well, I've lost my ticket," said the professor. "That's all right, sir. We know you. You can get on the train." "But," said the professor, I need the ticket because without it, I don't know where I'm going." It's easy to get lost in this world. Do you know where you're going? "Well, I know where I'm going." Good question. But now, back to our story. How easy would it have been to lose a 12-year-old boy on an organized pilgrimage to Jerusalem? Well, after the Passover in those days, back in those unenlightened days, we might guess that the women would usually set off first, earlier in the day, because they were in charge of the small children and the old people. And they would travel more slowly than the men, who would set off later. Later on, the men would set off and the two groups would meet up later in the evening. Mary and Joseph each might have supposed that Jesus was in the other's company. Joseph, maybe a little clueless, thinking of Jesus as a child, thought that he was with Mary's group. And Mary, maybe a little more aware that her son was growing up, thought that he was with Joseph and his group. They supposed him to be one or other of the groups, either with the men or with the women and children, when in fact they had left him behind. 12 is such an ambiguous age. Every step they travelled took them further away. It was not until the evening, when they'd searched the campsite, that they knew he was missing. As they had travelled one day, it took another day to return to Jerusalem. By now, Joseph and Mary were distressed and anxious for the boy's safety. And it took them that third day to find him. When they found him, he was in the temple. At the Passover, it was the custom for the Sanhedrin to meet in public in the temple to discuss religious and theological matters for the edification of all, really. And there was Jesus among them. It is wrong to think of Jesus leading this group. Rather, he was fascinated by them and by their words. The Jewish phrase which Luke repeats, hearing and asking questions, no, it's actually a Greek phrase. It's something that the Greek philosophers used to use. And it's a technical term used for any student sitting at the feet of a teacher. You can feel the relief and the anxiety in Mary's voice as she says, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you, and we were very worried about you." And this gives Luke an opportunity. St. Luke shows us in Jesus' reply, Jesus very gently taking the title of Father away from Joseph and giving it to God. A very important point. As a good Jewish son, now that he has come of age, he must be about his father's business. Here is a pointer, an early pointer in St. Luke's Gospel to who Jesus really is. Being the son of the Father does not free him, of course, from obedience to his earthly home. He was a faithful son to Mary and Joseph. But he was, of course, much more than that. He was the faithful Son of God. We gather here because we believe in him. But some don't. Once upon a time, there was a Scottish farmer who refused to believe the Christmas story. Though his wife and children went to church, he refused to and often mocked them. "Why should God lower himself and be like us? Foolish talk," he thought. But one January, when it was snowing and the family went off to church, leaving him on the farm, the farmer noticed that the snow was getting worse. And suddenly he heard a thump against the French windows and then another thump. And he went out to see what was going on. And there in front of his house was a large flock of geese. They had got lost and confused in the snowstorm. And despite his lack of faith, this farmer was a kindly man and felt for these poor geese. He wanted to help them. He realized that they could shelter in his barn. So he got behind them and tried to drive them in. But they only got flustered and scattered. Then he tried laying a trail of food to the barn door, but the geese, in their distress, seemed not to take any notice. Was there nothing he could do to get them into the safety of that barn? He was about to give up on them, and then he said to himself, why don't they follow me? If I were a goose, I could lead them into the barn. If I looked like one of them, I could save them. And then, suddenly, he stopped and thought about what he just said to himself. He could only save them by becoming like them. Suddenly, he understood the great love of God for our humankind. He fell on his knees in the snow and gave thanks to God for his great love in becoming one of us. Amen.